You may be seated. Well, as I mentioned, our scripture this evening is going to be focused on, or the sermon this evening is going to be focused on, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be looking at a few passages from Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7 this evening. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading that brief section that Jesus gives on the Lord's Prayer itself. We're also going to be looking at verses 25 to 34 of Matthew 6, then jumping down to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. So first, let's consider Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now jumping down to verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And now finally, beginning at verse 7 of chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Well, thanks be to God for his word. Now, every single one of you, indeed, every single human being living on the planet needs a few things in order to live. We need air, water, food, and shelter. Without oxygen, a normal person will die in about 5 minutes. Without water, in ideal conditions, maybe about 5 days. And without food, after about 5 weeks, we'll probably die. Human beings are very fragile creatures, and we cannot live very long without these just basic necessities of life. But even with plenty of air, food, and water, we still face our mortality every single day. microscopic organisms that we can't even see with the naked eye to make us very sick or even kill us. Chemicals and compounds that we use every day, they can shut our bodies down in a matter of seconds if we ingest them. Cells can divide too rapidly and cause vital organs to shut down. Yet God created us to need air, food, and water. Just these basic necessities. God created us to need those things. Of course, the fall messed everything up in the world and caused death to come. Again, we face that mortality. We face that curse every single day. But isn't it most appropriate then that Jesus Christ taught us how to pray for even the most basic things? Again, in some ways, we are very delicate and we need a fine balance to survive. So we pray to the Lord for these very things in this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus, we cannot forget, is fully human. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to not have food. He knows perfectly well what we need in order to live as humans. Matthew 4:2, during the temptation in the wilderness, we're told Jesus was hungry. In Mark 11, it records Jesus being hungry as he came up to a fig tree on his way to Jerusalem. And even on the cross, what did Jesus cry out? I thirst. Jesus is fully God, but he's also fully man. He knows what it is to be hungry, to be thirsty. In the Lord's Prayer, after praying that God's name be hallowed and revered in all the earth, we pray that God's will be done, that his kingdom will come. And we are asking for the creator of the universe to give us a daily meal. What a contrast from the uttermost reaches of heaven down to our dinner table. All in a matter of a few words. This is how God would have us to think. So God commands us to pray. And this evening we have the privilege to look at this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. So let us think about that this evening under 3 points. The position of this request. The posture of this request. And finally, the purpose of this request. The position, the posture, and the purpose. And may we, brothers and sisters, come to understand even in this very ordinary request, that God is glorified, that we can rely on him for everything that we need. So first, the position of this request. Now this fourth petition, this fourth request of the Lord's Prayer, it marks a turning point in the Lord's Prayer. Calvin called the last petitions of the prayer the second table of the Lord's Prayer. Because now it turns away from God to us. To the disciple. Now, I don't know about you, but this petition really gives me a lot of comfort. It gives me a lot of comfort. The blessings, the kindness of our Heavenly Father. It extends to us as His creatures, in even the smallest ways. We pray to the Creator God for even our most basic needs. And we have a hard time when things get busy in our own lives. And when that happens, those small things, those small responsibilities that we have to do, quite often they fall by the wayside, don't they? We just can't get to them all. They can be easily overlooked. How often do you take your to-do list and have to prioritize it? Well, I can't do all these things today. I can only do these. Important tasks get done first. And if we can't rearrange our sock drawer, that's okay. We only have so much time and energy. Some things just don't get done. But our Creator and Sustainer God has the time. He has the ability to hear and answer our requests, even for our daily bread. Even for the most basic things that we need. Nothing will have to be put off until a later time. When those prayers go to God, they don't drop down to way low on the low totem pole. God will answer our prayers. No request will go unfulfilled because something else took priority. On numerous occasions throughout the Gospels, we read about Christ providing food for his disciples, And even food for large crowds, as we heard in John with the feeding of the 5,000. And there, Jesus used extraordinary means to give just these ordinary things, bread and fish, to a huge multitude, providing for them what they needed. And we're told by John that he had compassion on the people. He saw the people, had compassion on them, and just gave them their basic needs at that moment. We even see Jesus earlier in John 2 giving good wine at a wedding feast for the guests there. So there is this ordinary, but also the extraordinary. Listen as, or we remember in John 21 how Christ, after his resurrection, he saw his disciples and he gave them breakfast. They were out fishing and they came and he just gave them an ordinary meal, baking it over coals. He gave them breakfast. And even now, we are sustained by Christ, the very ordinary partaking of bread and wine, as we were able to do that on Friday in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The triune God is concerned not only with what we need for our bodies, but also for our souls. Every time we come into God's house, we expect to be fed. Do you expect to be fed? Every time you come into the Lord's house and sit down, do you expect to be fed? Or do you expect to be disappointed yet again? It's a matter of the heart when we come and sit down in the seats. Are we expected to be fed by God? He is providing food for our souls. We expect to be fed. And don't forget, Christian, that Christ redeemed both our body and our soul. We don't believe in this dualism between spirit and matter, where spirit is good and matter is bad. No, we are created good and both are redeemed by Christ. And both are sustained by God. Ordinary bread and water, ordinary means of grace. God feeds us with both. And right now, we do have the full redemption of our souls. We have it right now. But not yet our body. We don't have that yet. That's going to come at the end. But even now, God sustains that. He sustains our soul and our body. And it's worth mentioning that when we pray for our daily bread, we're not just talking about something that we make with flour, water, and yeast. Instead, we're asking the Lord for everything that is necessary for us to live, the most basic needs. And if you really think about it, there's not a whole lot that we need to physically live, to physically exist on this earth. Again, air, water, food, and shelter to keep us away from the elements. We don't need the internet. We don't need TV. We don't need phones. We certainly don't need Facebook to wake up every morning. What do we need to open our eyes to greet every new day? We need the Lord's blessing. Psalm 3, verse 5, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord woke us up this morning. Everything that we need, big or small, is a blessing from the Lord. And He is the source of everything good. Those familiar words from James 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And earlier, as we confessed in the Catechism, we're asking the Lord to help us come to know that He is the source of everything good. It comes from Him. It comes from above. It comes from the Lord. Now, how often as we as sinful human beings, we tend to put those things on us? We give us the glory when we have those things. We give ourselves the credit when we have a full dinner table or even an afternoon snack. Brothers and sisters, everything good that nourishes our body comes from the Lord. It comes from the Lord as His gift to us. I mentioned that this position of the prayer is such that it's a turning point in the prayer. But it's also interesting to note that the fourth petition, it comes before the request to forgive. It comes before keep us from temptation and evil. It seems as if the order is a little messed up. We would think in the grand scheme of things that we need to have our request for forgiveness and our request to be kept from the devil would be more important than our needs for daily bread. Because this is how Christ taught us to pray. Christ taught us to pray in this way. Zacharias Ursinus, in his commentary on the Catechism, comments on why he thinks this is so, and I think he's right. In the first place, we begin the prayer with spiritual requests. We end the prayer with spiritual requests. We go from heaven to earth, back to heaven, in the Lord's Prayer. Secondly, he states that our receiving of temporal benefits might confirm in us more and more a confidence of obtaining spiritual blessings. So if we pray for the Lord to give us spiritual blessings, and he gives us physical blessings, and he provides us those physical blessings, we trust him for the spiritual too, knowing that he gives us all these things that we need. We know that he'll keep us from our sins. He'll forgive us of them. Keep the devil at bay. God knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. He knows we are dust. He knows our frame. He also knows our need to be reminded of his goodness towards us in all things, spiritual and physical. So how does the Lord do that? Well, he also, besides giving us food on our table, he gives us the sacraments. Physical, tangible, to remind us of those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. But of course, he does give us our daily bread to remind us that he provides for the physical as well. Our asking of this request, this simple request, give us this day our daily bread. To ask that is to ask in faith. It's to ask in faith. It's just as much of an act of faith as forgive us our debts. Without true faith, we're unable to thank God the Father for these good gifts. And instead, we suppress the truth of what God has given to us, and we turn it on ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, do you trust God for these things? Do you trust him for these very simple things? Or when things get tough, when things don't really go the way that you were expecting them to go, when you have trials and struggles, your life's not really what you expected it to be, you wander away from the Lord. When we're faced with physical trials, hardships that really affect our bodies, affect our wallets, are you trusting in the Lord still? The elders and the pastors of this church, we care for your souls in those times. And the deacons help with the physical needs. We're concerned about your soul and your body. All too often when life gets hard, people walk away from the Lord. He's not giving them what they want, not trusting in him. I'll take a moment to quickly reflect on the position of this request within the larger context of the Sermon on the Mount. And we know that the sermon begins with the Beatitudes. Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, pronouncing blessings upon the people, declaring these blessings upon them. These blessings aren't something that they or we need to try to obtain. They're blessings pronounced as being ours already. So Christ, he blesses us, he satisfies us when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why wouldn't he also bless us when we ask him for daily bread? We heard about that earlier, or just a little bit earlier from Matthew chapter 7. Just as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their sons and daughters, so too we can trust the Lord to give us good gifts, to give us what we need. And a little bit earlier, Matthew chapter 6, we don't need to be anxious about these things. Look at the fields. God clothes them. He feeds the sparrows. So too will God give you what you need. So brothers and sisters, when we ask in true faith that the Lord give us this day our daily bread, we're asking the creator of the universe, just give us what we need. Give us what we need. We see his work in creation. So we trust him to provide us everything we need for body and soul. Because we know he's willing to do this as a faithful father. He's able to do this as the Almighty God. Therefore, we can seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, knowing that he's going to add all these things to us. And this leads us to our next point, the posture of this request. Now, anybody who has been pulled over by a police officer, you know instinctively, you need to be humble. We address the officer very formally, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. They ask us a question, we give an answer. They need something from us, we give it to them. It's a person of authority, and if we don't humble ourselves and show honor to that person, we can easily dig ourselves in a hole and end up in a lot of trouble. And besides, if we're humble, maybe we get off with just a warning and not a ticket. It always amazes me, though, that when we get out of a ticket, it turns into a source of pride, doesn't it? I got out of that one. When it comes to prayer to God, the highest authority, we take the posture of humility. Seems to be with this request, we are the most vulnerable, the most weak, the most humble. Because again, we're coming to the Lord just for our most basic needs. We're coming as a beggar. We have nothing. We need the very simple things to live. To be sustained, we ask the Lord. We ask in faith and trust. We're not trusting in anything else or anybody else for our daily bread. We're trusting in God alone. This is precisely what the Catechism taught, as we confessed earlier. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put our trust in you alone. Put our trust in you alone, Lord. So when we ask the Lord for our daily bread, we aren't asking him to provide us with the salad and dessert because we've done everything else. But how often can we fall into thinking about this? We worked hard. We put in way more than 40 hours this past week. We spent time cooking the meal. Therefore, anything that God gives us is just the extra. He brings the wine and the rolls. We did the hard work. God knows how we think. God knows the pride that we have in our hearts. That's why he gave us this request. God knows our hearts. He gives us this request. We're forced to pray for our most basic needs. To give up our trust in creatures and trust in him alone. Posture of humility. Thankfulness for even the most basic needs. We've already heard how God has promised to take care of us. We don't need to be anxious for anything. We can see in the Old Testament a wonderful example of God providing his people with exactly what they needed for every day when he gave them manna in the wilderness. Now, there's some debate, actually, in the Lord's Prayer. Are we praying for this day, give us this day our daily bread, or does Jesus mean us to say, give us the next day our daily bread? The Greek can go in either way. But it doesn't really matter, and I believe that we can see that in the way that God provided manna for his people. He provided them with precisely what they needed for that day. Remember, the people would come out of their tents in the morning and they would see this strange sort of material on the ground, look like dew, look like coriander seeds, and they would gather it together, and it was a type of bread. It tasted sweet. And God gave them what they needed for that day. But on the sixth day, he gave them also what they needed for the next day, the Sabbath day, so they wouldn't have to pick it up on the Sabbath day. And what happened when the Israelites went out on a normal day during the week and gathered more than that they could eat? They started to hoard it for themselves. When they woke up the next day, guess what? It's all rotten. It's full of worms. It can't be eaten. God provided them what they needed for that day. But on the Sabbath day, when they were on the sixth day able to gather some more, the Sabbath day, it was still edible. It was still good. It wasn't inedible. God provided. He provided for that day and that special day for the next day. God gave them what they needed. So they had to trust the Lord, didn't they? Monday through Saturday, they knew that's all they had. But the Sabbath day, they trusted in the Lord to provide. And God gave it to them. We need to take a moment to remember that God also provides for us not only our daily bread, but also daily mercies. Those familiar words from Lamentations chapter 3. Listen to these words. "This I recall unto my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of our Lord." Again, there's that position, that posture of humility. We wait for the Lord. We wait for his salvation, but we also know that the Lord will give us his mercies new every morning. Every morning, God gives us what we need. We're not promised that he's going to give us what we need for the next week, or the next month, the next year. Every day, God will give us what we need, physically and spiritually, for what we need for that day. When the people of Israel began to become proud and arrogant in the wilderness, when they began to not really thank the Lord for his daily provisions, they started to become proud and arrogant concerning the manna. It didn't go well with them. Listen to this from Numbers chapter 11. "Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, 'Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at.'" How quickly they forgot their situation in Egypt. And here the Lord is giving them their most basic needs, and they start to complain and grumble. So what happened? The Lord's anger burned against the people. And in order to satisfy their craving, God gave them what they wanted. 3 feet of quail covered the earth. And the people started to gorge themselves. Gorge themselves with this food for 2 straight days. And while they were stuffing their face, the Lord sent a plague among them and struck many of them down. He gave them what they wanted, and they paid dearly for it. Because they were prideful. They were arrogant. And the Lord hates that. He hates it. When we become proud and arrogant with the good gifts that he gives us, when we demand more. How often have we done this with God's gifts? How often have we done that when God gives us his good gifts and we grumble and complain? How quickly we become proud and gluttonous with what God so graciously gives us. It's a part of this posture of humility that we have in asking the Lord for our daily bread. We go out and eat. We go out and work to earn the means by which to buy bread, the other necessities of life. God could work extraordinarily as he did for his people in the wilderness. God could do that. Provide for us manna 6 days a week, and on the Sabbath day, we don't have to go out. God could have done that for the entire existence of his people Israel. But we're told as soon as they stepped foot across the Jordan River, the manna stopped. As soon as they stepped foot in the promised land, the manna stopped. Now the people were in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But oftentimes we forget that now they needed to work the fields. They needed to work the vineyards. They needed to pick the fruit, dress the vines. God gave them the trees, he gave them the vineyards, he gave them the fields. But the wheat didn't pick, grind, and bake itself. The grapes didn't fall from the vine into a big vat and crush itself and just make wine. So God provided in very ordinary ways for them. They had to work for it. And so too, God provides our daily bread in very ordinary ways through the farmer and the baker. So we have the 6 days to work for these things. So when we pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking the Lord, bless the work of our hands. Give us the ability to work hard, to provide for our family, and to provide for others. Psalm 127, the first two verses. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. If you're just working for yourself, you're working in vain. The Lord needs to bless it. But this assumes, though, that we are working to the best of our ability, using the talents that God has given us. With this petition, we're asking the Lord, keep us from idleness, keep us from laziness. Throughout the Proverbs, what's one of the main distinctions? The sluggard, contrasted with the diligent and the industrious one. Even Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3 gives these stern words. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. So to pray to the Lord asking for our daily bread, part of it is, Lord, may I be industrious. May I be able to provide for myself and for my family in these very ordinary ways. But we're also praying that the Lord will give us those daily needs when we can't work for some reason. There are legitimate reasons we can't work. But the Lord then provides us as well. These extraordinary things as well. But by praying this request, we're not then commanded by God to not save. We're not commanded by God to only live day by day necessarily. When God does bless us and we're able to store up above and beyond our immediate needs, we can still be faithful to God's commands when he blesses us with an excess. But the problem is when we start to trust that excess. When we start to trust what we have in the bank, what we have in our barns. We begin to trust that instead of trusting in God alone. God gives us what we need to have a store for the future when there might be a future time of need for you or for others. It's precisely what God had Joseph do in Egypt, didn't he? 7 years of bounty store up for the 7 lean years that were to come. And guess what? According to God's plan, Jacob and his family were saved. They were sustained. However, it must be said, Christian, that we need to be content in whatever God gives us according to his hand. And that's the point of Philippians 4:13, that famous passage, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The context of that is having contentment in having plenty or in want. It is only through the strength of Christ that we can be content in times of need and in times of plenty. And ultimately, by asking the Lord to give us our daily bread and to provide us with our basic needs, it requires humility, faith, and trust. And beyond our physical needs, our daily physical needs, we trust the Lord for our spiritual daily needs as well. We'll go on to pray for those in the Lord's Prayer as well. This also leads us to our final point, the purpose of this request. The purpose. Now, it's not an accident that this request comes immediately after, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In many ways, God's will being done here on earth is providing his people with daily bread. That's God's will. The creator of the universe, part of it, his will is sustaining us, giving us our daily bread, our most basic needs. And the purpose of this request, there's 3 parts. And I neglected to put this in your outline, I'm sorry. But the purpose is for God's glory, for our advantage, and for the building up of the church. God's glory, our advantage, and the building up of the church. So how is the purpose of this for God's glory? When we trust in the Lord for our daily bread, as our sign has put it, we're making a profession to the world that God confirms upon us even the smallest gifts. It's a profession to the world. We're giving God the glory that even our most basic needs, we're trusting in Him. They came from Him. And even we as a church gather on a day like Thanksgiving, a day when that is kind of being talked about in our culture, and where do we come? We come to church to give God thanks for these wonderful gifts that He has given to us. And God is glorified. When we pray before a meal, even when we're out in public, either out loud or silently, we're announcing to a watching world, we know where this food came from, and it's not from us. Thank you, Lord. He's glorified. As mentioned earlier, if God is able to be glorified, praised, honored, and extolled when He gives us these most basic needs, how much more is He to be praised, honored, and extolled when He gives us salvation? Salvation from sin and death through His one and only Son, who is right now preparing a place for us in heaven. And He's going to come in the fullness of His glory at the end of the age. There's another way that God is glorified through this request. And it's when He does bestow upon us some extra measure of blessing, more than we need. And what do we do with it? We give it back to Him. We give it to those who are in need. It's precisely what we do when we give to the benevolence fund of our church and our giving to special causes. We're giving to glory to the Lord by giving back out of the abundance He has given to us, with cheerful and thankful hearts. But it doesn't only have to be money. Our giving back to the Lord in this way of giving an offering doesn't just have to be money. It could be our time. It could be our physical abilities as well. Maybe you don't have extra money, but you have extra time. Maybe you don't have extra money, but you can be of service to others. Give back. Help. Help somebody else in their most basic needs. God gave us breath. Let's use that to help others as well. The second purpose of this request is for our advantage. When we pray for the Lord to give us our daily bread, we are blessed. And God provides us with a spirit that is not anxious for what is to come. As Jesus says later in the sermon that we read earlier, "Therefore, do not be anxious. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough. Tomorrow's got enough." It's very easy for us to have sleepless nights, not knowing what are we going to do the next day? What are we going to eat? How are we going to put food on the table? How are we going to put gas in the car? But we trust in the Lord to provide. As Peter tells us, we are to cast all our anxieties on Him because He cares for you. It's great to be reminded of what we confess in Lord's Day 10, question answers 27 and 28, concerning God's providence. So just listen to these wonderful words. What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures. And so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact, come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Well, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature will separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. What a comfort. Despite whatever the world looks like around us, it doesn't come by chance, but it comes by God's fatherly hand. What a comfort. What a comfort. Anytime that you need comfort about what God is doing in your life or what it seems that He's not doing, you can turn to these two questions and answers. It's all according to God's plan. This request is for our advantage because of what the Catechism states in question answer 125. We confessed earlier that neither our work and our worries nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. To ask the Lord for his blessing in these ordinary things of life means that we're simply asking the Lord, bless us in our everyday activities, that we can be fruitful, that we can supply what our family needs. And that's what it is to be truly rich. That's what it is to be truly rich. Zacharias Ursinus defines the term. They are to be considered truly rich who enjoy a sufficient amount of the things necessary for the support of life and are contented therewith. There's the key. We're contented in what God has given to us. Oh, if the world would have that understanding of what it is to be rich. If the church would have that understanding of what it is to be rich. Just what we need to be sustained and to be contented with that. May we as Christians model that to a watching world. Contented with what the Lord gives us. Finally, the purpose of this request is for the building up of the church. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not praying, give me this day my daily bread. For honest, that's how we think of it, don't we? Lord, give me this day my daily bread. No, it's the first person plural. Give us this day our daily bread. We are to pray for the daily bread of our family, the local church, and the church universal. We pray that Christians everywhere will be blessed by the Lord with everything that they need, as well as us. And this too is a witness to the world. Especially when the church in a particular area has been blessed by God with some abundance, can now support those who aren't in abundance, who have need. We see this in the New Testament, don't we? The Christians in Jerusalem were being persecuted. They didn't have anything. So what does Paul do? He collects an offering from Asia, from Greece. I brought it back to the church in Jerusalem. Brought it back to them. We've seen that ourselves too, haven't we? Especially through this pandemic, how, especially in Costa Rica, they were in financial need and God blessed us. We gave them some wonderful gifts over these last few months. What a blessing it is to help those who are in need. And when that happens, brothers and sisters, the gospel's at work. It's not us. It's the gospel that's at work. God has changed our hearts to see a need and want to help. Thankful, cheerful heart. God gets the glory. And the church of Christ is strengthened. As those brothers and sisters that we probably have never met, maybe never will meet, we get to help them with their daily bread. All in fulfillment of their praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. 3,000-4,000 miles away, we get to help that. Something the world can see. As Jesus said, they will know you are Christians by your love. May the world see that even in us. And when we pray this request, it's not for our own selfish gain, but to serve God and our neighbor. Think about what Jesus writes later in Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And what the amazing thing is, when Jesus says that to those in that parable, and they respond, Lord, when did we see you doing these things? When they were cast out. Lord, we never saw you hungry. We never saw you naked. We never saw you needing shelter. But those that did it, they just did it because that was now natural to them. They just helped those who were in need because their hearts were changed. They just did out of the overflow of their heart. In many ways, to help with this Matthew 25 parable that Jesus gives us, our deacons help us with that, don't they? We have that James 2 fund to help in these very matters, to help those who are in physical need in our community. That's what it's for. But let that not, brothers and sisters, be our only means of helping those who are in need. Sometimes it's really easy just to write a check, drop it in the basket, and say, I've done my duty, which is wonderful. Praise the Lord. There are many other ways that we can help those who are in physical need. There's much that we can do just on our own individual level. Maybe talk about that amongst the family. How can we help those who are in need? There are plenty who are. If you need help, ask the deacons. There's somebody we can help out. Many other organizations, even in our own little town of Linden, that we can ask, how can we help? Give of your time, your resources. Brothers and sisters, to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It reinforces that we need to trust God for our most basic needs, physical and spiritual. As Paul says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If he gave us Christ, his only son who was crucified for us, how will he not also give us all that we need for this life? And to pray this request, therefore, we need to be in a posture of humility. It's not us, it's the Lord. Trusting in him for all these things. And it also means that we need to humbly submit to needing to work if we can. The Lord can bless us through those very ordinary means. Finally, to pray this request, it's for the purpose of God's glory, for our advantage, and for the building up of his church. So, brothers and sisters, may you trust in the Lord for all things, big and small. As you pray, give us this day our daily bread, knowing that God will sustain you. He'll keep you, and he'll protect you. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this evening, Lord, as we think about this very basic petition of the Lord's Prayer, that you would give us this day our daily bread. Lord, how often we turn our physical needs into a source of pride. That, Lord, look how hard we've worked. Look at this business that we have built. Look at this house that I can provide for my family. Lord, all these things come from you, even the most basic needs we have. And, Lord, there are many who struggle day by day. And, Lord, may those who have an abundance, Lord, help those who are in need. Lord, may you open up our eyes to see the need when it is around us. May we not turn our eyes away. For Lord, when we are helping them, we are serving you. Lord, give us this change of heart, we pray. Lord, knowing that you will give us all that we need for our body and our soul. For indeed, your Son, Jesus Christ, redeemed our body and our soul. And we're looking forward to the day when we will no longer be faced with death, because we will have glorified bodies because of the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.